Well, that's right. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. It's a Friday, mense. So how are you doing today? Who got actually paid? It's Friday. Who got paid? Today is the 21st. Who got paid? The nurse got paid. The teacher got paid. The police got paid. The bankers got paid. Who else? Firefighters are not many. All right. So, there are quite a number of people got paid. Okay. We know who got paid. You have to make friends today with. You know, those are the people. They got paid. So good morning, those who got paid. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen and others. There are those who might, non-binaries. So good morning. It's a Friday. A Friday is always, you know, you always bring us a different vibe, you know, Fridays always bring us a different vibes. So how are you doing wherever you are? Thanks for joining us. This is your number one talk radio station and, welcome. Thanks for joining us at this point in time. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, politics, and everything in between. So every week, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. And we're always, always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. Now, the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get into the heart of the stories. So our time is about 8:08, 8 minutes past the hour of 8, and today is the 21st of the 11th month. So, as usual, let's see what happened on this day in Africa. So let's take a look at what happened on this day, November the 21st, throughout the years in the course of history in Africa. So let's start with a moment that many in Namibia will remember with a great, great relief. So on this day, back in 1989, a significant chapter closed in Namibia. The last of the South African Defense Force, the SADF, you know, troop, about 1,500 there, 1,500 of them packed up and left Southwest Africa, which we all know now is, you know, the land of the brave, Namibia. So, yeah, they packed up and left. So, well, this wasn't just a military withdrawal. It was a crucial step, a tangible sign that independence was truly on the horizon, you know. And indeed, just a few months later, in March 1990, Namibia officially declared its freedom, free at last. And it was a long road. But on this day in 1989, the path to self-determination felt clearer than ever. So, now let's shift gears to the story of hope and rescue from the mid-1980s, you know, from the mid-1980s. Also, on November 21st, but in 1984, a remarkable and incredible secret operation began. It was called Operation Moses, and thousands of Ethiopians, thousands of Ethiopian Jews, known as Falashas. So Jews known as Falashas were in refugee camps in Sudan, facing immense hardship, really. So the convert mission aimed to airlift them safely to Israel because they were Jews. It was a complex and often dangerous undertaking, but it represented a profound act of compassion and a lifeline for so many people. Now, fast forward on to 1991 in South Africa. In South Africa, a nation grappling with the monumental task of dismantling apartheid. Now, on this day, the government and the African National Congress, the ANC, reached a vital agreement. So this court, stemming now from the discussion like the Pretoria Minute, was all about healing and reconciliation. So it focused on crucial issues like the return of people who had been exiled and release of those who had been imprisoned for their political belief. So it was another important step in the long and difficult transition towards a democratic South Africa. And yeah, still in South Africa, we in 1985 on November 21st of 1985 in the township of Mamelodi, where Mamelodi Sundowns is the team, South Africa. A peaceful protest turned into a tragedy. 13 residents were shot and killed by police. They were people marching against the injustice of apartheid era, protesting higher rents. I think that we should do that as well. We must protest against higher rents and severe restriction. There were also severe restriction placed on a funeral arrangement. So it was more like COVID kind of period. But a deeply significant cultural, as we know, and emotional issue when it comes to funerals. So it is a stark reminder of the struggle and the sacrifice made by so many during those dark years. Well, that's all today's history roundup on this day in Africa. And welcome, if you're just joining us, it's 13 minutes past the hour of 8, and it's Friday. So, now, on this Friday, the November the 21st, our thought for the day, no matter how long the night, the day is sure to come. No matter how long it is, the day is sure to come. Now, the proverb means, even in the darkest or hardest time, things will eventually get better. So it encouraged people to hang in there, you know, hang in there to endure hardship with the belief that the dawn will come. So just like nights always give way to day, you know, difficult situations are temporary and will change over time. And it suggests that after suffering or struggling, or struggle, there will be a fresh start or a new phase, you know. So in short, it's a powerful message of resilience, faith, and the certainty that adversity, it doesn't last forever. So our thought for the day, no matter how long the night, the day is sure to come. So make sure that the choices and decision you made be assured difficult situation are temporal and will change over time.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. Our time is quarter past eight. And very good morning to you. It's a Friday. And Friday for so many people is always that slow because they're looking ahead to the weekend already. So good morning to you and welcome to this another edition of Unpacking the Day, the show where we take today's story, strip them down to the raw facts, and ask the questions that aren't always being asked. So that's what we do. So I'm Michael Shoveri, and today we are talking about how we can bridge the growing gaps in housing, energy, and water infrastructure. Now, using something we already have. So we're going to talk about how do we bridge this gap using something we already have. And what is that we already have? Your pension money, your medical aid savings, and your insurance policies. So how do we actually bridge the growing gap in housing, energy, and water infrastructure, specifically those areas, and by using already something that we already have? So that's our headline. That's our headline. That's our front page story in today's edition of The Villager by Nino Menmavali Hangala. So now, make sure that you subscribe if you want to get into stories like that. Read it for yourself, get more in details. So make sure that you subscribe, and all what you need to do is send a WhatsApp message to 081-241-44, or what you have to do, you just send your name and your email, and voila, you'll be subscribed. And then you say subscribe, you'll be subscribed. And the Villager is published every Monday and Wednesday, and today, Friday. So make sure that you get your digital copy right in the palm of your hand. All right. So subscribe. That's the story we're looking at today, and so many other stories maybe if we have time. So Namibia is facing some serious infrastructure challenges. Okay, we know that. You know that. I know that. They know that. Not enough. We know that there's not enough houses for our people. Energy insecurity with power cuts becoming more common, and water shortage that threaten both households and industries. Water shortages. Now, the government is trying to keep up with this demand. Okay? They're trying to keep up with this demand, but the truth is, it simply doesn't have enough budget to tackle all of them effectively. We don't have the money. We don't have the mula to tackle these three challenges, especially, you know, houses, energy, and what is the other thing? Houses, energy, and inequalities? Oh, no, not inequalities. What are we talking? Houses, energies, and yeah. Energy and water. Yeah, that's what I was talking. That's what we're looking at. That's what the story is all about. That's what the article is looking at housing, energy, and water. Saying that we, as I said, the government really doesn't have, so as much as you're trying, it simply doesn't have enough budget really to tackle all of them. Effectively. Yes, given our vision as well. Look, now we have a vision, 2030, and the Namibian Development Plan, NDP 6, all with big promises for infrastructure. We're talking about infrastructure. We're talking about houses as infrastructure, energy insecurity, infrastructure, energy infrastructure, and, you know, water infrastructures as well. So, and we have really, if we're looking at those three sectors, If we look at those three sectors, look at our Vision 2030 and Namibian Development Plan and DP6, we have these big promises for infrastructure. 150,000 new houses by this time already, we should have actually have about 150,000 new houses by 2025. You know? So 100%, this is now 100% renewable electricity by 2030. These are the promises, you know, and universal access to safe water. Universal access to safe water, you know. So by 5 years, everybody in this country, actually it was supposed already by 2022, by 2022, a universal access to safe water. All right. So we have this, you know, grandstand, kind of like promises for infrastructure. Now, we know that the physical space to meet this goal is very, 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 very tight. So the budget to tackle all these goals is very, 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 very thin. So now in 2023, for example, 2023-2024 budget, only about 15 billion was earmarked for infrastructure. So, and that's actually a fraction, it's just a fraction of the estimated 800 to 100 billion needed over the next 10 years or so, you know? So that's just a fraction. As you can see, it's a mammoth task for the government. But knowing that as well, we go on and have this, you know, big promises for infrastructure. Now coming back to the story, now that shortfall forces the government now to look elsewhere. So that shortfall, now the government decided we need to look somewhere else. So where does that leave us then? So, well, here's the interesting part. Now this is now the most interesting part of the story. Our country is sitting on a huge pile of saving. So we are sitting on a huge pile of saving. 474 billion. So this is a saving, huge pile of saving, 474 billion in pensions, in medical aid, insurance funds and unit trust. So all those saving, you know, we are sitting on this amount of money. And when you look at that money, 474 billion, that's more than twice the size of our annual GDP, you know. So, but then the other thing is that, according to the story, but almost half of it is invested outside Namibia. Half of that is actually invested outside of Namibia, especially in South Africa, in the offshore market, and a very small amount in the rest of Africa. So much of that is in South Africa and also in offshore market. Now, as you can see, as I said, half of that billion is invested outside Namibia. Now, so the big question of the day, the big question of unpacking the day today is, how can we get that money? How can we get more of this money working here at home? How can we get this money, this much money we have in saving? How can we have it working more here at home, specifically in sectors that we talked about, in sectors that we are desperately need to grow, like housing, energy, and water? You know, maybe could this be the missing piece in our development puzzle? Maybe this is the missing piece, you know, in our development puzzle. So that's the question today. How can we get more of this money working here at home? Some people think we can. All right. So the idea is that The idea is that being discussed, now I mean, the idea that being discussed more and more is that when we can, that is that we can use this capital to invest in unlisted sectors. So we can actually use this capital to invest in unlisted sectors. Those who are financial people know what exactly that means. Unlisted sectors, simply terms, this means putting our saving into a private companies that are not listed on the stock exchange, but are still making a big impact on the economy. So yeah, put that money into a private saving, you know, putting our saving into the private company that are not listed, on the stock exchange, but you know, that are actually making impact on the economy. Okay? Not just any fly by night, anything, you know? So now, this investment could fund now, you know, could fund power plants in terms of water desalination projects, or even new housing developments, you know? All things that would make a tangible difference in the people's life. So, but there's a twist. Here is unpacking. Of course, there is always a twist. So, now, while many see this as a great opportunity, there's a big question. There is a big, big question. Are this investment truly, would then truly benefit Namibian? Or are we could possibly just simply lining the pocket of some big corporations? So, if you do that, if you go this approach, would this investment truly benefiting Namibians? Or we simply then lining kind of the pockets of some big corporation, like some South African corporation? So there's also an issue of governance. There's also a question, an issue of governance. What about governance? If we are going to put more of our saving into this project, can we trust that the system in place, can we trust that the system in place will hold this company accountable? So, we're talking about SME Bank. What happened? Huh? Who is held accountable for what happened? Huh? And so many, many, many other companies that comes and gone, the manager, phew. So, there are also those worry and kind of like, guys, can we trust the system in place? Yes, that's an opportunity. Yes, that's, you know, something that can be done and it's done elsewhere. But can we trust our system that are in place? Will we be able to hold these companies accountable if anything happened? Well, just imagine. Now, think of that. What would you imagine? What would it look like if we did this on a large scale? Now, if Namibia pension funds, imagine the money that we're talking about, medical aid schemes, insurers, could now allocate more of their money into local unlisted projects. What do you think the impact would be? What would the impact be? It could be really, really, really massive. It could have a great, it could have, that would, could make a really much of a difference. We could see after this commercial break.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. So now I was actually saying that imagine if, you know, remember the idea. The idea is actually to, you know, to bridge the gap where now the government cannot be able to, you know, to fund, where the government, the government's budget is very thin to be able to meet all these development projects. So now, if we use then pension fund, medical aid schemes and insurers in saving, you know, and then allocate those money, this money into local unlisted project. So there would be really, really massive, you know, impact. So, and because the idea, we want to see more reliable electricity. So that means, you know, we invest in more, we could see more reliable electricity, secure water or affordable homes. So if in terms of reliable new solar farms, you know, grid upgrade, maybe, you know, backup, some kind of backup generation that would keep, you know, shops, schools, hospital running. Yeah? So, and in terms of securing water security, one, you know, desalination plants cost a lot of money. So desalination plants, new pipelines, you know, could bring water to places where they aren't water. So supporting more, you know, yeah, supporting more other regions that are more arid, for example, you know. So, and yeah, with this, private developers, backed by long-term financing, yeah, could build low-cost units of houses for families, you know, in different part of the country. So, yeah. And please, and don't forget, this investment also create jobs. This is exactly what the government is calling for. You know, it will create jobs. And that's an important point to note, especially with unemployment still a major challenge, in Namibia. But here we always have a but on unpacking the day. So let's not take the story at face value. Okay, let's not take the story at face value, because you got to think, okay, I'm thinking that it's a great idea. It's a very, very great idea. And as I said, this is not something that, this is an exploration. I don't know why we haven't explored that much, much earlier, because other country does that. So, but as I said, let's take the story, not take the story at the face value, because private sectors, they will seek return, isn't it? So if a housing project is not profitable, the capital may walk away. I think they may walk away, leave some time. And we have these unfinished units. We have some houses that actually haven't been, they are left unfinished. And capital work away. Yeah? Their motive is profit. That's it. That's the nature of business. Their motive is profit. And they may not actually, you know, more into this, you know, grand promises that you make. They are not just actually to fulfill these grand promises that you, that political promises that you make. For them, it's profit motive. They're motivated by profit. Now, when it comes now to pension funds, you know, the pension funds are the custodians of people's retirement money. Yeah? This is our retirement money. Now, if any unlisted projects underperform, for example, okay, which is possible. Now, what happened to the retirees? I don't know how you call this. Do you call them retirees? Retirees or retiree, the people that are retiring, retirees? I'm not too sure whether that's the right English. Retirees, retirees, retirees. Yeah. So definitely the retirees could feel the bite. They could feel the bite if that happened. Eh? And the other things that we said earlier on is that the plan relies on a strong governance mechanism. And we're asking that, you know, in Namibia, yet Namibia past infrastructure deals, the infrastructure deals have sometimes been made by procurement delays and cost of runs, you know. So without a transparent oversight, the private money could be misallocated. We are well familiar with that in this country. We have a history. We got a history. Eh? So that governance gap, the plan to work, it relies on a strong governance mechanisms. So, and the other things, when you read the story, they say that it's a requirement, that's a regulatory push, that the 45% domestic investment rule pushes now funds into Namibia. So, you know, it pushes now to fund into Namibia. But that it doesn't guarantee they go into the right sectors. So you understand, some managers may simply buy low-risk bonds and not the higher impact project we need. For example, housing or what is that? Housing or energy, you know, and water. So that's another thing. So there are things that, you know, one has to be really, really, you know, as well the other side, if you kind of like the cons, not the pros, but the cons as well. So, yeah. And when you look at most of the unlisted investments so far have been in the financial services, construction and mining. Now, sectors that these are sectors already that attract capital, you know. So these sectors already attract capital. But let's say, for example, you're talking about rural water project or housing in the north. That possibly might be overlooked. That still might be overlooked. So those are other things that the article didn't go in too deep into it as well. So, and of course the international competition. So South African investors dominate the CMA. They dominate the CMA pool. So their appetite for Namibia project, could that, you know, tramp, if you like, dwarf local investors, potentially leading to foreign control of the key asset in the country. And that's quite obvious in our country. So, but the question is, how do we strike then the right balance? How do we strike the right balance? And I encourage you, please, to subscribe to the Villager, subscribe to the Villager, to be able to read for yourself stories like this. So we're looking at it at different angles than sometimes covered in the story. So just to expand it a bit. So now here's the thing. Some experts argue that Namibia's reliance on foreign investment isn't just a matter of poor allocation. It is also about the lack of viable local project to invest in. There are those who are arguing in that way. So it is not just about the money being there. You know, as we said, we have this chunk of saving that we could use. It's also about whether we have the right kind of project to attract that capital. So that's also the, you know, the issue. So are we as a country creating the right environment of this investment to flourish? Yeah. Do we have the infrastructure? The governance that we're talking about, that's the main thing. The governance and the planning system in place to manage these large sums responsibly. Because otherwise, similar things. And I think the reasons why maybe this is not something that is, the reason why maybe that's simply not actually taken up is because we haven't created the right environment for this investment to flourish. Do we have the infrastructure, the governance, the planning system in place? I said to manage these large sums of responsibility. Maybe not. And to be honest, we have seen failed project before. So we have seen failed project before. Think about the housing development that never took off, you know, or energy project that were some underfunded or overpromised most of the time. When you look at some of these energy projects that either they underfunded or overpromised. Yeah. So as I said, we have seen failed project before, and maybe, you know, they are playing cautious. And trust, there is also issue of trust. Trust is a major issue here. Yeah. It's a major issue here. It is something that both the private sectors and the government will need to address if they want this investment to succeed. If this kind of investment needs to succeed, of course, the private sector and the government will need to address this, right? Now, but here is the different perspective, okay? Here is the different perspective. If we wait, there won't be any perfect opportunity. There won't be any perfect condition. If we wait for a perfect condition to deploy every cent of this saving locally, we might be waiting forever. So there won't be a perfect condition, you know? So, sure, there are risks, you know? Some project will fail, but others could succeed and bring us closer to solving some of these critical infrastructure issues that we're talking about. Of course, there will be some project will fail, but that shouldn't be the motivating factor, because others could succeed as well. And that would then definitely bring us closer to solving this critical infrastructure issue. So we can't be afraid to take some risk if we want to build the future for the next generation. So the question is, how do we ensure this investment truly benefit Namibians? So that's the big questions. And let's talk about the governance again for a moment. So with better regulatory oversight and transparency, we could actually ensure that these investments are held to a higher standard, and that the profit don't just go to a few, you know, maybe South African big players, but are reinvested into our communities. So, and here is where the potential really lies. Local capital can make a difference, as we see, and this is something that we've seen it works in other countries. South Africa, for example, has invested heavily in a renewable energy through similar private sector led initiatives, through the same similar thing. South Africa have done that. So if Namibia could take a page from their playbook, we might just find ourselves in a better position to tackle our housing, energy and water challenges. So, yeah, but as with all things, it requires action. Not just from the government, but from investors, from businesses, and maybe from us as citizens. Like, we cover it, you know, we cover issues like this in the villages. We're talking about it here to create that awareness. So, yeah. So we need to create that condition where private capital and public fund can work together effectively. So because at the end of the day, if we don't invest in our own country, who will? If we don't, who will actually invest in our own country? So let's do that. So that means also, so we want to hear from you, 08 08333660091, 08333660091. Do you think private capital can solve our housing, energy, and water challenges that we have? Do you think private capital can solve our housing? Maybe that's the approach we need to go. Can that solve our housing, our energy, our water challenges that we have? So, or are you worried about the risk? You could be worried about the risk. Well, your voice matter. Let's keep the conversation live. 08333660091. So you may now come through. Please come and educate us. 08333660091.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafata Nana Longishifa, Yashiwika Moshiwana, E Moyao, Otaimbo Samweni, Anagashifa Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa Orangika, Seithanina Omakuro Nirantitoma, Yue, Yongeshifa Yokupitramo, Igle FM Media House, Gwe 20 Mimeha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano oni aji. Igle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend.
Oh, I'm not even on air. I'm talking and I'm not on air. Oh my God, Lord. So welcome back. Yeah. So I was talking about how do you call the retirees, and they're pensioners. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I have a boss that always, that pull you out, you know. So pensioners. Yes, that's very true. All right. 08333660091. You may come through, and so was someone knocking on my door. So, Namibia, here is your, we have the money. Yes, we have those savings. We have the money, 474 billion, sitting in a saving and investment. Now, almost half of it. It actually works outside of our border. Okay, let's get to the one that is knocking. A very good morning. Good morning.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to put this thing off. I don't know what. I have a new phone now. It's giving me problems, man. With this app.
All what you need is just delete it and just get install the then install it and it's gonna work, okay?
Because now the problem is repeating, huh?
Yeah. Or it's echoing or what?
Just repeating like the way we are talking to you.
Yeah.
It's like the radio is still on.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe just a technical something for now. It's probably gonna go away. Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, you are speaking about housing problem in Namibia.
Yeah, but because now I'm talking it in the light of what we the possibility, that is there. They are saving money that from the pensions, from the medical aids, and from all this, trust. Yeah. So quite a lot of money, 7 billion that can be actually used to fund, unlisted projects. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm.
So we have money hiking there where we are making our people to suffer.
But,
and we are saying we are doing it for the future. We understand it, but how do you have a future? Blood future will the generation we support to create those are suffering.
Yeah.
And some are dying
question,
because,
yeah. I think the big question that we're looking at is actually to say, it's not something that you can also blame. Well, in the end, everything you blame the government anyway. So what? So the private, I mean the business sector are not seeing this idea. Which is actually commonly practiced anyway. So is it because, maybe because the environment now, we haven't created the environment for them actually to invest, as we were saying, you know? And that definitely goes, as I said, it goes back to the government then. So have we created a safe environment for actually the business to operate in? You know, without risking their money, and also without risking our pensions money, you know?
That is the issue.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, Mike, why we just imagine, you are saying all that money, we are only having some small percentage which are in Namibia.
Yeah.
They are in foreign countries.
Exactly, yeah.
Just imagine. It's not like you are growing somebody's economy while your economy is suffering this side.
Yeah.
Because look, how many times we even complain that, no, there are not enough, when it comes to a small market, people to operate to do their business.
Yeah.
We are not having enough to create for newcomers to have opportunity to sell their goods or to do their own thing, like the way I'm always advocating when it comes to, TVET and the VTC.
Yeah.
Graduate. That they are there, they are doing under the tree, mechanic. Huh? They are doing a panel beater for each cousin in the house, and this cousin is getting tired because there are too many cars surrounding his house. So you have to be chasing the way, and that, later on, he doesn't find the business is closed.
Yeah.
But we have Lamatex which is there, and the government is not able to pump the money to make it available for the SME.
Yeah.
Or we kill the SME bank, and we are not even making a way to return it back.
Mm.
Because remember, we learn from the mistake.
Yeah.
That is a mistake was done, and I'm sure it was done deliberately because some people they know they want to kill off that SME because they're competing with what where they are having shareholders. Some foreign banks.
Mm.
And our people, some politicians, they're having is, what shares on this bank. And they will make sure that they kill this one because a lot of people are going to migrate to SME.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem I think we have in Namibia. Especially when it comes to accountability is the main problem in Namibia.
Yeah.
Somebody can just mess up.
Oversight and accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody just mess up and then nothing happened.
Mm.
We continue as usual. And this person can be located from what, where he mess up to go to something else and then he mess up again, then he go. Just like that.
Yeah. And this is exactly the point that we said. As a country, have we created the right environment for this kind of investment to flourish? Okay. Do we have the infrastructure, the governance, especially the governance, and the planning system in place to manage this kind of this large sum of responsibility? Because it's a large sum of responsibility, you know. And we have seen we have failed. We have projects that failed before. Yeah,
a lot, and we even started investing in individual. We are trusting more individual than the corporate. And then is what is happening even is some people are still owing JPF, what, 200 million? We don't know how long, if they paid back or still, and we don't know how where anti-corruption is standing in that case.
Mm.
And the problem is that when you see this, and we have a high unemployment, then we have agriculture which is just there, which is supposed to take a lot of people out of the street. And we, importing the food, we are spending a lot of millions going out to import the food which you are eating. are we serious with our life? We're serious with this kind of future. We are serious with when it comes to Vision 2030. Is this a way to go? Because look, here it's not about like, there's no money. The money is now, it's available. The money is there now.
Yeah, the money.
Okay?
The money. Yeah.
What is blocking us to go and get that money, come and invest it back, especially when it comes to agriculture, especially when it comes to housing? And a lot of people, they're able to even get a job. Once you make those locations which have been existing for 35 years, without having a proper shower, without a proper toilet, without a proper electricity.
Yeah.
Once you make it available as a capital project, and then you give it to people who are living, I mean, residing in Namibia, not a foreigner like the way we get capital project, and then you give it to Chinese.
Yeah.
And the Chinese are going back to their country to bring the machinery. They are going to, even the material. Seriously, sometimes, I think we are the one to be blamed. But seriously, I'm telling you, my brother, the problem what you're having in Namibia is not about, it's a leadership crisis.
Yeah.
We have leadership crisis because people are doing their own thing. They are not even communicating to the people. Like, no, what about if we do this? Then the people have been put, like, no, okay, maybe you can do it a different way. I think the way you are trying is okay, but what about if you do it this way?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many discussion. It's discussion all the time. When are we going to start implementing? We are getting exactly. close to 2030. We are getting already to close to 5 years to 2030.
Mike,
so every time is a meeting here, it's a discussion, there's a potential, it's always about potential, this potential, this potential, this potential. And and we never investing in those potential.
Mike, the problem is we have a country which I'm telling you is been run the people with what theory. We are not really doing it the practical way. Because remember, even up to now, electricity which you are talking about, we are going to what? Invest in what? It's good. It's there in the paper. Then that paper can take even for 6 months, or even for a year.
Yeah.
Without it, then put it in the practical. But the people will tell you, no, there's a project, what? Kudu gas. There's what? Oil. There's a green, what? What they call this one, I don't know, for Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, everything just done there that you don't know. When you check it, you go to look at it and then you check it practical, what is going on in there. Nothing. But when you hear the TV, radio, how the thing is being presented, you think they will be like, yo, the people already putting up solar panel, maybe they already put up wind power. Nothing in the ground when you go there.
Yeah.
But here people are talking about billions you have been invested, what?
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing here where you have companies that actually talking that, okay, there's a way actually we can bridge this gap. We can bridge the gap because the government will never be able to, you know, the budget of the government will never be able to address all the problems. And there is this bridge that, you know, this amount of money, this saving that can bridge that. You heard that. And then since then, you will never hear anything. You understand? So there is that opportunity, there is that idea, but it's just an idea. And you will never hear.
It will die natural, my friend. It will die natural. Remember, last time, when you heard like this guy having a lot of money like that, next time you heard that there's also, again, a portion of that 1 billion is missing. Like now we are having a JPF money which
exactly.
we are missing.
This is what we're talking about. This is the risk that we're talking about. That's the risk also we're talking about. This is pension fund. It's people's retirement money. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that money is about to, you know, the thing is that I think it's just our black mentality. I think so. Let me put it away. And everybody think that, no, I'm too much exaggerating with this point which I'm going to make. Listen here, you have your uncle who's just even retired. And you see, this cowboy is trying even to make a cardboard. It's a niche. But I'm going to invest in that business. He's going to buy what a Land Cruiser, which he never has even a single car in his life.
Yeah.
But you know, remember, he's retiring. And this guy is going to what? To need petrol, to need tires, to need services. You know, all those kind of things. Now, that man is going to come from where? It's come from his pension.
Yeah.
Because there's no income coming in again. Maybe. Instead of investing there, where you know that it's a potential and they're able to generate income from that carbon, you can get something every month.
In 3 years, though, where are you going to be?
Oh, Kedopi, Nengo, it's 6 months. Remember, Uncle cannot drive even. He just bought that car because it's like, and this is what our people are learning the government.
Uh-huh.
This is what they are doing. Because now, look, we have young people who don't have a work. And some are even educated. Instead of investing in them, we are putting money in foreign countries so they can generate income, I mean, job for their people. Really, our people here are dying in the pool of poverty.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? And that's why I'm telling you that is the leadership vacuum which we don't have in our country. Because if we are having a capable leader, my friend, we can even overpass overnight Burkina Faso. Look at if you look at the Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso, they are even making tires now in their country.
Mm.
They are having standard stadium which has never been there before.
Yeah,
they are playing their own game.
It's home game. Everything is possible. I mean, you just look at where we are. I mean, it just tells that, you know, it's just strong governance mechanism that needed in place, you know?
I'm telling you. Mm. Here we start, it's what I'm saying, we bend the lenient to these people. It's hard time to fire. If a person is not your goal, really fire the person.
Yeah.
It's time like to do sangwasa way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, because now we've been with Selenium, these people becoming come back because it's our comrade. No. If your comrade is not performing, he must go. Some even they're having their own farm. They go and turn your farm in commercial.
Mm.
Yeah, where you start even like selling more cattle to Mitiko. Mitiko need cattle, but you are there. Just having a free cattle, but you're having a big land. Yeah, and they want to wait until you are 90. So you go to go and do farming. What are you going to do if you don't have anything now?
Yeah, no, if you just doing comrade, those time in the future of your own children.
that's the problem. Anyway, Mike, let me give you other people a chance, man.
All right.
Sure, man.
Thank you.
It's Friday, and you know, welcome. 0833-66091.
Good morning.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Yeah.
The capital. I think those people, they work with the... Are they working in partnership with the government? The private sector? And also, individually who are investing. If you invest in your Range Cruiser, for example.
Yeah.
That is a big car. That car can take up 50 years. And it can also do a lot of work. If you are in construction and you have got a Range Cruiser, you might not have a truck of the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think the Mandume was talking about someone who was retiring. If they retire,
when you retire,
Range Cruiser,
then you get your Range Cruiser. That's a big car. You can do a lot of work. You can do the construction. You can do the welding and fabrication. You can do a lot of work with that car. You are not going to just drive it the way you want to drive it, but you can also drive it because it's your money that you have invested in there.
Yeah, but so I just wanted to, that is actually in context of what he's saying. Instead, he was comparing. He was comparing that a person could have actually vested Mokate Kuru, Aka Takaningo Welding and all that. So even that would have made more sense.
Even if Kate Kuru is doing that, he can still assist the Kate Kuru. It's not a problem. The Katekuru can do a lot of work, even with that Range Cruiser, or even if he can borrow or lend that Range Cruiser to do the work, if he's serious. Just like if you are a plumber, for example, I just used an example of welding and fabrication. You carry all your material, your equipment, and do a lot of work with that particular car. If the Katekulu is visually, he has got a vision to do something, he can still do that. So the private sectors can also build houses for their employees. And we are even told there's a declaration that say if you are working in Eagle FM or wherever, any other company, and you want to buy a house, you can go to GIPF. And if there's money lost in GIPF, maybe through this unlisted company. So I don't think, of course, it's an effect. It has got an impact on people who have retired. But are they going to have a day that they will not get their income after they have retired from GIPA, for example, or wherever they have invested their money?
So are you saying that's okay, or what is it, Uncle Bona?
No, I'm not saying that it's good to have money lost in that unlisted. No, that's not what I'm saying. But all I'm saying is that, like you were saying, the impact of the retirees, those are
the pensioners.
The pensioners.
Yeah.
Are they going to have a day that they will not be paid, for example? For example, now, are they going to have a day that they will not have their income paid? It's not good that the money get lost, whether through GIPF or any other entity. That cannot be tolerated, because we need money to be managed prudently.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that it's just like you have invested in your car. You buy a car, whether in the old pay age or now. But if you buy a Land Cruiser for now, for example, so you can use that Land Cruiser to the maximum. One, it can give you a longer period before you open the engine. Then you do a lot of work. You can do a lot of construction with that Land Cruiser. So, or any other equipment that you might want to invest, you can do a lot. So GIPF, up to now, they are still calling people to go and get money there if you want to do investments. They even have appointed some of these asset managers who can assist you to get access to the market, for example, like NIFA. Those are entities that are established to help the entrepreneurs and those who are coming, getting into the emerging market, all those kind of things. Those are gray areas where we can get in, especially those who have got VTC knowledge or skills. In fact, if you go to the Development Bank of Namibia there or any other commercial bank, they will even ask you, are you an artisan? Because they are expecting that an artisan can create employment or can create wealth through other people.
Yeah.
Once you set up your workshop there, unless if you just want to go it alone, but you can even team up with other people. Triple P is there. Capital, the private company can team up with the government or those ones. And then you do some work.
All right.
So those who are investing in really property or things like vehicles and things like that, even in logistics, you can use that car or your vehicles to transport things, goods, for other people. Just like when you have those if you have it, and then you can lend it to the town councils or municipalities and all these things, or any other person. Are you not going to generate money for that?
All right.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you for coming through.
All right. Yeah, so we're talking about, the 474 billion are sitting in saving and investment, and and that money could actually use to bridge, you know, where the government, you know, cannot be able to, you know, to meet, you know. So, yeah, and that could be redirected. The whole question is about redirecting it more into well-governed, well-planned local infrastructure. And that could actually transform. This is where now that's the whole article is about. That could that be redirected, you know, more into well-governed, well-planned local infrastructure. And that could then transform our country far beyond what the government budget can achieve. So that's the idea. So, but without trust, without transparency, without top-class project execution, those are very important. It's just a dream. That would be just a dream. So you're welcome to come through and have your contribution as well. 08-333-66091 08-333-66091 So, yeah. All right. So, otherwise, we have another second story that's also very interesting, you know, to look at. And this actually, you know, we would like to zoom out, you know, a region or a topic or something like that. And there's Kavango West future is actually stuck in the limbo. This is a story. So let's actually then in our second story, in this segment, we are going now to the northeast, you know, to Kavango. But you must welcome. You're welcome to come through if you want to actually talk about our first stories that's actually making a front page, the front page of the Villager. So yeah, let's get to the one who's still knocking here. Very good morning.
Buen día, familia.
Buen día, ¿cómo está?
Obrigado,
Moshe. So, what's happening?
Hoje é sexta-feira. Today's Friday. Today's Friday. Hoje é sexta. Every day when I call, I'll give you something to you. Today's Friday in Portuguese.
But I need those one that I can tell, you know, that I can speak softly to someone, you know. Me amor, you know.
I see you.
No, I don't want to discuss business. I don't want to have those terms that are talking business. I want the soft one that, you know, that I tell you, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, hoje é sexta-feira, today is Friday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm laughing at? The idea of my brother, what's the name of that other guy? Israel?
Mandume or?
Mandume.
Yeah.
The idea of that Mandume, the idea of that the Bwana, they are all good.
Yeah.
Now, the question stands here to say, Oto Troshi Maruakeni, Mokana Koye, Iro Omonte Kuluwe, yes, what I'm learning now is like, you know, you can also have a nice car,
yeah,
for future if you know how to handle your car well.
Yeah.
In terms of you know, sometimes even elections they need nice cars for transportation and stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah, even you can buy a nice car, you can invest in that car in terms of other business like transportation, like airports, even some if you. You have like big activities like the ministers coming to the region, they need a car, you can even rent your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the good to investment, I think if you in house, yeah, I think the better one. Buy something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole idea, you know, when Mokatekuru, for example, that's actually you upscale the Katekuru's business, as someone actually mentioned. You know,
yeah.
So you're upscaling up that business, you know. And the end, the other. Remember, the car is also liability at one point. You know, the car will be gone. You know.
Yeah. You know that the motion to say on the glow here is your blood. Also make a lot of sense, you know, in my view, make a lot of sense, because you put a lot of money in this son. This guy finished studying, you put a lot of photo on him. One of the days you have a big argument at home.
Yeah.
The wife will tell you, this is not your son.
No. We don't want to go into that now. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, things, my brother, I think can happen. It's the reality, can happen. But, you know,
yeah.
But the idea is good. All of the ideas that you burn in there, the idea of my brother, is also a good idea. You just have look. You have to look where you can get a future.
Yeah, my friend, your network has
because you don't know how to drive, yeah. But you bought expensive car. Now to do what now?
Yeah,
right. Then you are wasting money. And unless you buy a car, you know how to drive and you know how to monitor your car.
Mm.
But buying a really old man, you just buy an expensive car. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Want to look good. That car, maybe 2 months is like you buy a rental cruiser. And to, my brother, that car is expensive. The petrol is too high.
Yeah.
Maybe buy a minimum car like a Toyota kind of thing. Then from there you grow.
Yeah.
But
it's different when you're buying that car and you know that I'm buying this car because of the work that I'm doing, and it's actually it would add value to my business or to what I'm actually planning to do. That's fine. And probably that's what Uncle Bon is talking about. Yeah, so.
Nice cars also is needed. Nice cars is needed. Because sometimes nice cars also can elevate you in some parts of your way. You can get not a program, but you can get like a contract somewhere. We want to use this car for, because the president is coming here, we don't have enough car. You can get that thing. You can even get somebody coming from overseas, and this guy come want to rent your car. Maybe, please, how much I want to go to Swagop, I need your car. You can do it, you know. You can do it. But
in blind. You can't just, okay, let me have a car. Maybe one day someone will show up. And at this point in time in your life, do you have people already showing up who want to go to Swakop, who want to borrow the car? If it doesn't happen, you know, you don't expect that when I'm retired and buy such a car, that possibility will come. You understand?
No. If you never drive a car, don't buy a car.
Yeah.
If you never drive a car, why you should buy a car if you never drive a car? That's a waste investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Let me just like to participate.
All right, no, thanks for coming through.
All right.
Yeah.
So the question is, do you think private capital, private capital can solve our housing, our energy, our water challenges? So that's the discussions we should have. All right. Yeah, not the Land Cruisers. Eh? Yeah. So no, it's okay. So that's all linked to what we're discussing. All right. Our time is about 19 minutes past the hour of 9. We go until 10 o'clock here on Unpacking. And I will hand over to another capable man, in the name of Tate France, by 10 o'clock. Make sure that you still stay tuned in, for Kuthamosha. That's coming your way from 10 o'clock. All right. We were traveling to the north, to the Kavango West, to Kurenkuru, where funding freezes is slowing a development to a very snail pace. Now, many of you might know Kurenkuru. Of course, you may have passed through Kurenkuru, or you may from there. So it's a small but growing town along the banks of the Kavango River. So also a regional capital of the Kavango West. So that's the regional capital of the Kavango West. It's one of our youngest councils, you know, it's one of our youngest council, only formally established in recent years. So, and is still trying to set solid foundation for its future. But right now, that future is stuck in limbo. It's stuck in limbo. Why? Because despite money being allocated in the national budget, the actual cash hasn't arrived. All right? The actual cash has not arrived. Now, let me get that out what are you thinking? What is going on? Here's the situation. The Kavango West Regional Council and the Kurenkuru Town Council were given allocation for important projects this financial year. For example, 30 million earmarked for a flagship office park project. So that's for example. Now, that's supposed to be a major development, you know, center or hub for government services in the region. But as we speak, no money has it hit the account yet. No mula has hit the account, their account, now to start working. Now, Kurenkuru Town Council, they say they have received no development budget at all. Zero. That means plant upgrades, sanitation projects, land servicing, they're all delayed. All right? So, and this is, you know, this is not just actually, how would I say it? This is not just a bureaucratic frustration. It is affecting services that touch daily life. Okay? It's not just about, you know, because of those bureaucracy, you know, frustration. It actually things that touches services that touches lives. Water, sewage, refuse collections, even ability to, you know, then ability to service land for housing. Yeah? So now let's look at the background. In Namibia decentralization policy under the Regional Council Act of 1992 and the Local Authority Act of 1992, local councils are supposed to get resources to plan and run their own development. All right? So that is in the Act. It's in the Regional Council Act of 1992 and also the Local Authority Act. So now this fit into the ideas, also fit into the idea of Vision 2030 and the also in the fifth National Development Plan. So the fifth National Development Plan, which actually emphasizes a regional equity and rural development. Now, in theory, the system works like this. Okay? It works like this. Parliament approved the budget for ministry, and ministry disburse money to regional and local council and service rollout. Now, in practice, that's now in theory. In practice, sometimes allocation are approved, but transfers are slow. And slow, put that in inverted comma, in the government time can mean months. When we say slow in government, it means months and months and months, and sometimes even years, you know. Now, for a young town like Kurenkuru now, which is still depending heavily on the central government funding, more than half its revenue comes from the government, then definitely it delays. So that actually now delays this. The delays like these are crippling now their development plan. So, two council, in a joint meeting, set out clear priorities. You know, first, these are some of the priorities they set. First, improving household sanitation. Second, accelerating land servicing. And third, upgrading informal settlement to boost inclusive housing delivery. Now, and I like that. I like that they are thinking ahead. You know, they are actually thinking ahead. They even resolve that all public buildings, including schools, should be connected to their main sewer system. So there are other plans that they have. But no more skeptic tanks for the government building. So those are some of the things that they have. But that basic infrastructure planning, good for health, good for urban growth. All right? So, but here's the elephant in the room. Without money, a resolution are just word on paper. And that's where the point is. So, now, let's get back, you know, what the point here is looking at that there are plans that are on papers. As we have seen with the place with the town like with the region like Kamango West. So, and if you don't actually receive money, your resolutions or your promises, whatever the you know your promises are just words on paper. So, we need to see funding going into councils, for example, to be able now to roll out, you know, those plans. Imagine the region hasn't received any development budget. You know, there are plans. The plans are there. And so the plans are improving house sanitations, you know, accelerating land servicing, upgrading informal settlement. So that they boost inclusive housing delivery. So this all are all there, you know. But without the money, without mula, ichele te, nothing happens. So maybe that's something that we need to look at. Now, Namibia's budget for 2025, 2026. Include development money for regions. But the thing is, disbursement depend on ministry cash flow and bureaucratic process. Bureaucratic process. Now, the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development has you also have to think that they have many competing priorities, upgrading town, rural water supply, as we see housing programs. They have many competing priorities. Sometime now, payments are delayed because the ministry itself is waiting for transfers from the Ministry of Finance. You see the process. So this kind of bureaucratic process becomes also a problem to the development, you know, to development of our town, of our regions. So how do we have to deal with it? How do we have, you know, to make sure? And the president actually said this sometimes earlier, that if there are, you know, processes, policies that actually delay service delivery, get rid of it. We still have to see that happening.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai epetla weda kwa ombu ni kilo ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Mona ovi unedia peke kwa gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe. So, kwika ovingi na kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. pamedia murongo na visa rimo shimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyano kife. Asheesho imba ya kupeo shimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyegu haka enina itako na wina rishangika jinon.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And we are in Kavango West looking at the issue of, you know, development money for the regions haven't reached the region yet. Okay. And the Kavango West seem to be in the limbo. Okay. So yeah, we're looking at the issue of bureaucratic process, that could hampers also development in the regions. And, and as we can see, sometimes it's, as I said, the process, the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development has many competing priorities, because that's where the money comes from. That's where the money goes from, the Ministry of Finance. So, and in that, they may, you know, the delay could be also that the ministry is also waiting from the Ministry of Finance as well. So, but there's also a debate about allocation fairness. Okay. If you read the, you know, if you follow the stories in the daily newspapers, that now you compare Kurenkuru to Katima Mulilo and Omaruru. Katima Mulilo Council reportedly got 100 million. Omaruru whooping have got about, you know, 300 million. And Kurenkuru far less, you know. Now, the older towns have infrastructure to maintain, yes. But the younger council have to both maintain and build from scratch, isn't it? So in principle, developing development allocation should be based on need and potential impact, not just on a historical precedence, you know? So now, one of the things I notice is that when funding delays happens, like in this case now, the conversation tends to focus on the ministry is slow, which could be true, which could be very true. And in this case, as the region is actually saying. So, but there are other things that we should ask as well. There are other things, other areas that we also should look at. Now, so when you're looking at the audit report, for example, you know, what that says about the regional councils. So how transparent are councils with the money they already have? I said, just get into their audit report of the years gone by. Yeah. How are there internal inefficiency that maybe the ministry cautions or maybe being cautious to release the fund? That could be the case as well. Yeah. As I said, we're just looking at, okay, the ministry is very slow, but sometimes maybe the ministry, there are some inefficiency we have seen in some councils, like in Katima. We have seen it in what is the other one in the south? I can't remember exactly. So there are internal inefficiency that make ministry cautious to release the funds. So is there a performance-based component to allocation that Kurenkulu is failing to meet? Maybe. Yeah? Maybe there's a performance component or performance-based component that the Kurenkulu town, the council, the regional council, or whatever, the component to allocation that they are failing to meet. So what I'm trying to broaden up here is just, you know, sometimes we quickly can jump to say, hey, you know, they, because of that bureaucratic processes, you know, regions are not be able to fulfill their development mandate, you know, their development projects and things like that. Well, that could be true, but there are other issues as well. I mean, if you pay attention. So could be maybe there are those things, there are other components that are not met. There could be also components that are not met within the council itself. So now remember, the 2023-2024 financial year ended with the Kurenkuru Town Council carrying an accumulated deficit of 18.9 million. All right? A deficit of 18.9 million. That's triple the deficit from the previous year. Yeah? So an operational cost, especially salaries, took up the bulk of the revenue. So the employee-related expenses were 20.7 million out of 29.5 million total revenue. 20.7 million out of 29. Okay? That's employee-related expenses. And that, then you see that's how many? That leaves a very little for infrastructure investment. It leaves very, very, very little for infrastructure investment. So what are you crying about? So now, if you are in Windhoek making allocation decisions, you may look at those numbers and hesitate. Eh? Seriously, if it was me, there are questions that I need to be answered first before actually I release that money. Because I'm probably going to expect the same thing that's going to happen. You understand? So, but let me also bring this down to everyday life, okay? If Kurenkurus can't fund household sanitations, that means some residents are still actually using, you know, those pit latrines or septic tanks that overflow during the heavy rains. You remember? You know? So upgrading land servicing means creating plots with water, with electricity, with proper, you know, sewage. And without that, informal settlement grow without basic service, you know, and housing, then you have that backlogs deepening. So the studies from the Ministry of Health have shown that I'm just bringing this. If you have a problem of sanitation, then household sanitations, you're actually creating an issue. Studies from the Ministry of Health have shown that poor sanitation links directly to outbreak of diarrhea. You know, diarrhea diseases, chlorellas, and other waterborne illnesses. So especially in rural area and also peri-urban areas. So when we say funding delay, you know, think bigger than that. You know, there's so much that is involved. So when we say funding delay, we are not just talking about numbers on the spreadsheet. You know, we're talking about actual health risk. So that you also have to factor that in. There's so much to it, okay? Rather than actually the numbers on a spreadsheet. So, yeah, and these are issues in our regional councils, in our town councils as well. So these are really, really, really big issues that that need to be dealt with. So, and the other issues then, so now the credit now to the council, you know, they want to improve internal revenue collections. That is very important. I think that's very important. It's part of the decentralization idea, the decentralization ideal. You know, council raises enough of their own money. They can raise their own money to cover basics, reduce dependence on the national transfer. Okay? So that's a good idea. But the number tells a story. Okay? The number tells that last year, Kurenkuru sold only 23 plots. Now, they only sold 23 plots, generating just 371,250. Now, you're thinking that... So this is in a context now, in a context of higher demand for serviced land. Why so few sales? Eh? Why so few sales? Are prices too high, maybe? Are process too slow? Or is there, or maybe is there a mismanagement in allocations? So you expect more than exactly what they have sold. So the truth is, if council want to convince now, and this is my point of view. So if the council want to convince central government to send more money, they need to show they can maximize local income streams. They can maximize that. You know, land sales, rates, business licenses, you know, efficiently and transparently. You should maximize that efficiently and transparently. So that... You know, shows that you're capable. You can't just, you know, money pumped into the council and, you know, as we have seen, if that is not done efficiently and transparently, of course you still expect the money to squander the same way as it has been done previously. The record is there. So, now, the other thing is when now councils compare themselves to, like, they compare themselves to Katima Mulilo or Marulu. Yeah, that's actually that they are making a political point. They're making political points. And it's kind of like we are being neglected. Eh? And there could be truth in that. I'm not denying that. There could be truth there. Yeah, Namibia regional development often favors older and more political connected towns. So, yeah, but we must also recognize that regional lobbying, you know, plays a role. Yeah? It plays a role. If your political leadership is weak in negotiation with central government, your allocation may suffer. Yeah? It may suffer. And this is why the capacity building for political leaders, which actually the council mentioned, which actually they themselves mentioned, that capacity building for political leaders is actually strategic. It should be strategic. Yeah? It's not just about management, you know, skills. It's about being able to make strong cases in budget talks. You know, when it comes to budget talks, you must be able to make, you know, strong cases. So we need, and when we're thinking of, and I'm talking about like this, thinking of, you know, the election in a week time. Make sure that you actually vote leaders that are capable, that are competent. Eh? So otherwise, you know, your town will be just behind. So And when we talk about delays, I mean, we have seen funding delays before for many years in the early 2000s, some rural electrifications projects actually stalled for over years because disbursement didn't come through. You know, we have seen that this has been the result contractor. And sometimes, I mean, from what I want to indicate is that, and that makes some contract left. Well, when the contractor actually left unfinished job, the cost went up because now you have to hire someone else to be able to finish the job while the other one didn't finish. Community start to lose trust in promises from government. So what I'm trying to ask to also for you to see that as a counselor, maybe when you become that, things like that would then actually create trust, would make a community actually not to trust in the promises from the government. And that's why we will have some problem. Well, we'll have problem when it comes to election. Maybe we'll have apathy. You know, people don't want to go and vote. We have people questioning that as well. Why would I go and vote anyway? So that's not what we want. So you look just the ripple effect of one thing, and that would have actually, you know, completely affect everything else. So we also know from urban development history that early investment in infrastructure pay off long term. Towns like Oshiwarongo, Gobabis, they grew faster and attracted more business once, you know, things like the sewage system, tire road, water network were built. You know, those were done first, you know. Now, Kurenkulu is at the decision point. And they are at the decision point. Either invest now and grow, or delay and get stuck in a circle of underdevelopment. You can. There are villages and towns that are actually stuck in a circle of underdevelopment. Yeah. So, yeah, what could be? So how do we move forward? I mean, looking at just on the things that we discuss, the things that being complained and the things the town council themselves, you know, have mentioned, timely disbursement, that require a reform within the whole entire government. So ministry needs stricter timelines for releasing funds once allocations are made, you know, and this could be enforced through amendment to the Public Finance Management Act. This is also something that we were talking about yesterday. The Public Finance Management Act. So the amendment to those, we couldn't do that. The Parliament couldn't do that. Sometimes those delays because there are some amendment that couldn't be done. You remember what we were talking about yesterday? So councils should, the other way also is also, because relating, as I said, if you look at the audit, financial audit of many of the councils. So councils should publish quarterly financial and project report. That's the only way you can actually build that credibility, you know? So, and that's also how you build your performance-based trust within your community. So, and maybe some, as we have seen also from Kurenkulu, some revenue innovations, innovation, explore services. There are many things that the town council or regional council can actually explore. You know, explore service fees, partnership with the private developers, you know, and small scale public borrowing to cover immediate infrastructure needs. So there are so many things that local towns, maybe this is what Uncle Bwana always said, come up, you know, you know, be, organize yourself and, you know, So, which is true, yeah. So the, I also think that the regional leader must be smarter. The regional leader must be strong. It shouldn't be just a yes man, a yes ma, a yes woman, you know. They must be really leaders that are strong. You know, when, you know, they must have data backed case, you know, cases to parliament that, look, this, you know, not just, you know, saying this is what happened. Have data backed cases to parliament, you know. Not just comparison of other towns. You know, this one are given more money than, you know, maybe they have some data that backed up their demand. If you don't, eh? So, clear social and economic benefit, you know, in terms of, you know, you should be a lobby smarter, eh? And I'm talking to you, people in the region, you lobby smarter. So, and of course, we see that, you know, community involvement is very important. Public pressure works. And this is what we're lacking, Namibian. And especially you citizens. Citizens of Kurenkuru. Citizens of the region of West Kavango. West Kavango West. You know? Public pressure works anywhere. Anywhere in the world. You know? Public pressure works. If residents understand what at stake, they can push both local and national leader to act. We can push local and national leader to act. So once we vote them, they kind of like, we make them a little god, some little god in our regions. Public pressure works anywhere in the world. If you want changes, you know, understand for yourself what is at stake. Because otherwise, as I said, you've been in that circle of underdevelopment. That's your fault. Sometimes we look at it, the government doesn't do this and what are you doing? From your part, are you doing? Well, maybe you're not even voting. You know? Maybe you're not even voting. Are you doing your part? Do your part. And this is now your term. You know, you have the power actually. And this is the beauty of 5 years. You know, 5 years is too long, but 5 years is also not that too long. You have now a chance to say, well, you haven't done, you know, you have a chance actually to get rid of, to fire this person. It's not even just get rid of, fire. It's like someone hasn't worked. We're not just expecting the president to fire, but you also need to fire. How do you fire them? Vote them out. Vote them out. So you also contributing to the situation you find yourself in. You're responsible for it. And now you can say, well, it has been so many years and nothing has changed because you let it to be. You let it be. There has many chances. You have many, many, many chances to change course of direction. You didn't. So it's also your fault of where you are. So yeah, that's very important. All right. Now, Kurenkuru and Kavango West have big dreams like any other town, or like any other region as well. Better sanitation, service land, upgraded housing. So, but without timely funding from the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, those dreams stalls. And that goes with any other promises that are made. So I could be sitting in, actually, I could be in Kurenkuru, you know, I could be sitting in Kurenkuru, you know, making all these promises, but you know, if funding from wherever the fund is coming is not coming through, your promises are as worthless as the paper on it. Those dreamers told can be stopped. They don't go nowhere. Yes, central government must play its part, you know, and release money on time. But council must also manage resources efficiently. Yeah? The reason sometimes why there are no services that we need is because those resources are not managed efficiently. You must also increase local revenue. Eh? We can't just have people who are performing. We must have people who are thinking, how do we increase local revenue? Eh? We need to change courses. And this is not just about changing. So this is not just about changing political parties or something. It's having competent. It's about, or do we lack, Mantume mentioned actually, leadership that we're talking about. So we need to increase local revenue also for our local councils and build a political clout to compete for bigger allocations. Yeah. So now the issue is, it's bigger than Kavango West. Okay. The issue is bigger than Kavango West. It's about how Namibian balances equitable development across regions. Making sure young towns don't spend decades playing catch-ups. So we don't spend decades actually playing catch-up. Otherwise, you know the inequality that we're talking to our country is not only in terms of either, it's at every level. So smaller regions will spend years and years, you know, playing catch up, and they will never catch up. Huh? So now this is the question. The question I want you to ponder, okay? The question I want you to ponder, if you lived in Kurenkulu today, would you wait for central government to save you? Or would you find ways to build the basic yourself? Just the basic. Eh? Think about that. What would you do? So because we have this tendency, and this goes with every, and the way we, I'm asking this question just to have a different outlook on how we normally think. Most of us sit, look of unemployment. Most of people sit and look at the government. Government should create employment. Government should, you know, maybe sometimes the answers are just within our locality. You know, you find yourself, just think of it on an individual front. You find yourself in a situation, you always find a way how to get out of it. You understand? Or are you the type of person who's just sitting, you know, I need help. There's nothing I can do for myself. You know, I'm not saying the central government shouldn't, you know, do what it's supposed to do. But if you lived in Kurenkulu today or any other town, would you wait for central government to save you? Or would you find ways to build? That's just the basic for yourself. Yeah? So, yeah, that's what I want you to think. That's what I want you to discuss. You know, think about it. Think about it. All right. And basically, that brings us to the end. At the end of our unpacking the day. So, thanks for joining me. And please don't forget to subscribe for the villager, and this is for free, guys. All right, and it's a mound of information that you love economics news, if you love business news, if you love finance news, if you love this kind of, you know, developmental news. So make sure that you subscribe to the to the villager, or what you need is to send your name and your email at 081-241-4244. So yeah, so that's all what you need to do, and you will be receiving your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and that bring us to the end, and it's a Friday. Make sure that you make friends with teachers, policemen, who else? Bankers. Who else? Who else got paid? So make sure that you make friends with those guys. And please, guys, please call me. Those guys who have, you know, these bankers, teachers, and all this. Please do call me. I'm around. Okay, let's cross over to Tate France for Kuthamosha. And the rest, and make sure that you stay tuned to the rest of the programs that's coming your way this afternoon and this morning. So for me, Michael Chauvelli, I'll probably talk to you tomorrow around 11 on Mind Matter. Join me tomorrow at 11 to 1 o'clock on Mind Matter. So for me, have a great weekend. Until tomorrow. Bye for now.